All right, thank you. Welcome. This is Alexander, who will be talking to us about DNS and free IPA with some Samba AD integration. Good luck.
Yeah, so thank you for taking this talk. I kind of feel that sometimes the like traditional corporate environments, they don't get attention anymore, especially in the DNS, which supposed to be tangling together the public environments. Like, and we are talking now about the stuff that happens behind sometimes closed doors, like this room, right? And in the enterprise environments, you traditionally had the setup where you admins control everything. So they have full coverage of what they do there, including how the names result and so on. And more to that, most of those names have no reason to exist outside of that environment and or be resolved outside that environment. So two big kind of projects that try to implement the enterprise domains infrastructure in, well, open source world, Samba AD, or Samba in general for already 30 years, and free IPA since 2007, so we exist for quite a long time. And I just happen to be in both of these projects for quite some time, so I started working with Samba in actually 1998, and to the point that got invited to the team in 2003. So it's quite a time. And then I joined Red Hat in 2011, and I cannot get rid of this job anymore. As a part of it, I'm also contributing to MIT Kerberos, but Greg Hudson happily rewrites my patches, so I'm only contributor, not a committer or anything. But yeah, we go there. So what is these DNS for enterprise domains? Really, when we talk about the enterprise domains, it's almost always equivalent of saying unspoken Active Directory word. Right, so Microsoft did a great job in the 90s by looking at the Unix environments, taking Unix technologies, taking open source stuff and projects developed there, combining them in a good and sometimes unorthodox way and bringing them, selling them so successfully that maybe 95% of all enterprise environments in the world for past 30 years were Active Directory. It's almost at that time was a given that you deal with Active Directory. So a lot of projects had to start looking at the compatibility with that. And certainly Free IPA started as one of those. Original aim was to get not compatible with Active Directory, but as easy as Active Directory for deployment for Linux stuff. But later we came to the same point that we have to integrate with Active Directory, and we had to add kind of integration ways, which made us, I mean, FreeAPA looking as if it's Active Directory from the point of view of Active Directory, not the users. But the typical thing is there are domain controllers, domain members. Domain controllers are typically Windows machines and Linux for, in case of Microsoft Active Directory and Samba AD, which kind of try to implement the equivalent based on the protocol compatibility. And the domain members are clients that enrolled in these domains, and they are all whatever they are. But the whole thing is, literally, we take LDAP as the centralized store with the replication mechanism across multiple domain controllers. We take some control protocols based on DC-RPC mechanism, which comes from Alpha DEC and like goes back to I think 79 and 78, so pretty old one. And then the Kerberos to combine them all and do mutual authentication and so on. And in IPA, it's exactly the same, except that the management APIs are basically HTTPS-based REST-like thingy in itself. So all of this thing actually is heavily dependent on DNS resolution. And it's not just A records or something. Kerberos is extremely fragile, at least according to the popular opinion, because in order to map the Kerberos service principles to certain resources, you have to have unified view on those resources and on those names. And most of the Kerberos principles, they are, well, built from service name slash what we call like a host name or full host name. So you immediately get this natural mapping into the DNS view of your domain. And if you're all of your machines in the same DNS domain, that's easy, that you can do expansion and so on. But in reality, your environment might have multiple DNS domains belonging to the same logical domain. And this thing that when we talk about domain, we have to specify, is it Active Directory domain or logical domain, organizational domain, and then DNS domain, is something that is kind of evasive for administrators. Many administrators miss this point. They think about domain as organizational one. The DNS is a minute detail for them, which causes a lot of trouble, a lot of troubleshooting problems as well. So both domain controllers and domain members, they rely on the DNS, on the auto-discovery for Kerberos. So you have to find out which Kerberos realm you're in. You have to discover where your domain controllers are, and there are protocols within Active Directory which all Windows clients are actually following, how they find this. So they look into these details, they look SRV records, they follow some lookups, and sometimes we cannot use anything other than that because they always do this. You cannot really say to Windows machine that, hey, my domain controller is there by IP address, because it needs to mutually authenticate it. So authenticate itself there and authenticate the controller that it's the one who it presents itself. And for doing that, it needs to have this on the Kerberos level as the service principles, and they are constructed of DNS names, not IP addresses. So it's kind of tied together, but not really obvious to administrators. And this is how it looks like for any domains. This is from Microsoft specification, MSADTS. It's technical spec for Active Directory. So all non-read-only domain controllers must register a bunch of SRV records of this type, where .x is domain, and then there are a few different expansions there. And DNS people know that this one is against typical RFCs in this area. Here they are. Your client must allow this. Okay, we already have most of these knowledge encoded in the resolver libraries, in the DNS components and so on. But 20 years ago, this was a big trouble if you wanted to combine all these things together. On the domain members, we do auto-discovery, whom to talk to, then which server out of what we discovered we have to talk to, which is also SRV records out of this set, the first three of them. And they might not belong to our domain, they might belong to a domain we trust, and we have to find someone whom we talk from that domain that we trust, or how we delegate that. There's very weird situation in most cases. But they also have to tell where they are. So this is dynamic update thingy that is typically nowadays done with a lot of different protocols. Most of the public DNS systems allow you to do some REST-like API update. But this is enterprise domain. The only thing they trust is their mutual authentication, which is essentially Kerberos, right? So all of them support using the GSS T-Sig, and that's RFC 3645, but with a twist. So the spec is actually called GSSA, MSGSSA. It's public. It's implemented in most places, in most libraries, or traditional libraries, like say Bind has this implementation and Bind Utils, therefore. But most of the newer languages like Go, Rust, people re-implement all of this and they have hard time finding out these things. They are all documented. So for example, HMAC-MD5 from TK RFC is not used, actually banned. The MSGSA spec says must not use this one. And the reason for that is a bit unobvious, because remember evolution of the Active Directory. It started with Windows NT domains structure, which used RC4 hash